Hello, Set Apart Saints. This is David Nakao Wilcoxon. This audio is from the Olivet Discourse Decoded video series. The videos were low-tech, mostly me just reading what's on the screen. So you're not missing much in the audio version. The Olivet Discourse Decoded PDFs that I refer to in the lessons can be found at www.theolivetdiscourse.com. Enjoy the lesson. Hello, Set Apart Saints. This is David, and in this video, I'm going to finish my introduction to the new series about the fulfillment of Messiah's Olivet Discourse on the Olivet Discourse website. So it's www.theolivetdiscourse.com. You can save PDF summaries. So there's a one-page summary and a two-page summary. You can request a free PDF copy of my book on that page, or you can order a printed copy of the book. By the witness of Matthew 26, 1-2, we can see that Messiah gave his Olivet Discourse 2 days before he would be killed. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. The disciples understood the prophecies in Daniel about the judgment of the Jewish nation, and they witnessed the Jews' continued rebellion against the Heavenly Father. But still, the reality of it had not sunk in yet. Though Messiah had just cast judgment on the Jewish leaders, proclaiming that all the righteous blood that they shed would come upon that generation, the disciples were enamored with the beauty of the temple. The large white marble stones made the temple, which sat atop the elevated city of Jerusalem, look like white-capped mountains from a distance. The gold plating of the temple dazzled the eyes as it beamed like the sun. I'm sure that the disciples were initially alarmed at Messiah proclaiming that it would be desolated. So they asked him when it would happen and what would be the sign that it was about to take place. They were connecting the dots that Messiah was proclaiming the fulfillment of Daniel 9:26, that the temple and city would be destroyed, which meant the end of the Jewish nation. So Matthew records that they asked about the end of the Jewish age. Daniel 9, 26-27 foretold the actions of the people of the prince, the Jews, would cause the temple and city to be desolated. And we know that the Jewish leaders delivered Messiah up to be killed, and we know that Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed in 70 AD. By that, we understand the proper context of Messiah's Olivet Discourse, which described events that took place in the interim. The Olivet Discourse narrative isn't about an end times rebuilt temple. It's about the temple in which Messiah just cast many woes upon the Jewish leaders and declared that judgment would come upon them in that generation. He said, Verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. All that Messiah described, which took place before the temple's desolation, can be accounted for using scripture and the witness of Jewish historian Josephus. Messiah brackets the end of his Olivet Discourse with the same declaration that he gave to the Jewish leaders, that these events would take place in that generation of wicked Jews. Says, Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So we can see the proper context. The Messiah's Olivet Discourse is directly related to the 70th week of Daniel prophecy. We see that the people of the prince, the Jews, transgressed against the Heavenly Father in delivering his son up to be killed. And we see the determined judgment, the desolation of Jerusalem and the temple fulfilled in 70 AD. Just as the 70 weeks of Daniel are about the Jews, Messiah, and the city of Jerusalem, so too is the Olivet Discourse. The 70 weeks of Daniel 9 prophecy foretold the year when the Jews were released to rebuild the city and prepare for their promised Messiah, and that took place in 457 by the command of Persian King Artaxerxes. Messiah appeared in the 70th week of Daniel, which occurred from 27 to 34 AD, and gave witness that he is the anointed one who was sent. He is the son of David. He is the Messiah of the Jews. We see the fulfillment of the 70th week of Daniel 9. The Messiah was cut off for the sins of his people when he confirmed the everlasting covenant with his blood for our sins. And we see the punishment for the Jewish leaders' transgressions was the desolation of Jerusalem, the temple, and the Jewish nation, which took place in that generation in 70 AD. So there's one congruent narrative between the seventh week of Daniel 9 and Messiah's Olivet Discourse involving the Jews, Messiah, Jerusalem, and the temple. Sadly, as we saw with the 70th week of Daniel 9 decoded book, the enemy has been very effective at deceiving people at seminaries, which have been infiltrated by the false futuristic explanations, so that the truth is hidden even from pastors. To proclaim that the Olivet Discourse is about the end times and the Antichrist is totally out of context. We'll go through Matthew 24 verse by verse in this video series to prove it out. Now, I understand that your gut reaction may be that some of the statements in the latter part of Messiah's Olivet Discourse are about his return, but I will show you the context of those statements and how they were fulfilled. And I'm not teaching that Messiah returned in the first century. What I'm saying is that the explanation of the verses has been misconstrued. And I'm not asking you to believe me blindly. I'm asking you to hear my full explanation. Consider it, compare it to Scripture to determine truth. 1 Corinthians 8:2 says, "And if any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know." Messiah proclaimed in his Olivet Discourse that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The narrative is simple. Messiah appeared in the 70th week of Daniel 9. The Jewish leaders rejected him and delivered him up to be killed. Their great transgression brought judgment upon them during the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD in that generation. The details of the judgment will be given in the coming videos, but I want you to see the direct relationship between the Jews' actions regarding Messiah and their desolation. The sins of the Jewish leaders condemned that generation to the same type of judgments. The Jewish leaders delivered Messiah up to be killed when the Jewish nation was assembled to celebrate the Passover. And then, almost a generation later, when the Jewish nation was gathered to celebrate the Passover, Titus and the Roman army shut them up within Jerusalem's walls, which led to civil war in the Jewish nation. The Jewish leaders' rejection of the true Messiah was their crime. Then they followed false messiahs, which caused them to revolt against the Romans and led to their punishment of being desolated by the Roman army. The Jewish leaders paid 30 pieces of silver for Messiah to be delivered up to them. And then they were sold by the Roman Empire as slaves at the lowest cost. The Jewish leaders chose a murderer, Barabbas the Zealot, over Messiah, whom they crucified between two thieves. During the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD, the Jews were then infested with bands of zealot murderers and thieves, who were the key group of Jews that caused the desolation of the Jewish nation. The Jewish leaders put Messiah to death, lest the Romans should take away their place and their nation. And then, within a generation, Messiah caused the Roman army to come and take away their place and effectively in their nation by desolating Jerusalem, destroying the temple, and causing the Jewish leadership system to lose power. The Jewish leaders delivered Messiah up to be crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem. And then, within a generation, outside the walls of Jerusalem, the Jews were crucified in such numbers that the Romans ran out of trees and crosses so that they had multiple bodies hung on them. So we can see a direct correlation between what the Jewish leaders did to Messiah in finishing their transgression and rebellion against the Father and the matching judgments which came upon them in that generation. The Jewish leaders caused Messiah's blood to be shed, and then the Jews' blood was shed, fulfilling their curse. They said, "Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children." And indeed it was. The context of Messiah's Olivet Discourse was about the judgment of the wicked Jewish leaders who he had just rebuked and told them that all of the righteous blood that they shed would come upon them. He ended his condemnation of the Jewish nation with his declaration, "Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." If you teach that Messiah did not fulfill the prophecies in his Olivet Discourse in that generation of Jews, then you are effectively causing unbelievers to view him as a false prophet. People look at what most believers teach, and they can't see how Messiah could not fulfill his own words. Let me explain. In Matthew 10:23, Messiah declared, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. In Matthew 16:28, Messiah declared, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. In Matthew 26:63-64, Messiah declared, but Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. If those things did not happen in the first century, in that generation of Jews, the Messiah appears to be a false teacher. I pray that you will take Messiah at his word and seek to see how those things that he described were fulfilled. The enemy has caused the end time saints not to understand the symbolism that is used, which points to a literal fulfillment in the first century. Matthew records that Messiah used the words this generation 10 times to point to the Jews, especially to the wicked Jewish leaders who opposed him. In the final instance, in Matthew 24, he says, verily I say unto you, this generation. See, he's not saying that generation. He's not pointing to a future generation. He's pointing to this generation, the one that he just rebuked in Matthew 23. So he's pointing to them. He says, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. The 9 previous mentions are pointing to the Jews who were alive at that time. Are we to believe that the 10th time the Messiah described this generation that he's pointing to the end times? No. The Olivet Discourse is directly related to the 70th week of Daniel 9, which says that the temple and the city are determined to be desolated because of the overspreading of abominations of the Jews. The context of Messiah's Olivet Discourse is the desolation of the Jewish leadership system and their temple. Messiah rebuked the Jewish leaders for their rebellion against the Father and for persecuting the prophets who were sent to them. Again, he proclaimed that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel until the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. All of the things that Messiah described from Matthew 23:35 to Matthew 24:33 were fulfilled by 70 AD, when the Romans desolated Jerusalem, the temple, and the Jewish nation. The enemy has deceived people about the symbolism of the sun, moon, and stars being darkened, as it's pointing to the Jewish leadership system being removed from power. Scripture gives us several examples of the symbolism of heavenly bodies being darkened regarding the upheaval of the kingdoms of Egypt and Babylon. So it's not pointing to the literal sun, moon, and stars. The enemy has misled people about Messiah coming in power and glory. It's referring to Messiah being exalted in heaven at the Father's right hand and him coming in judgment against the Jewish nation in using the Roman army to desolate Jerusalem and the temple. The Jewish high priest declared that it's better that one man dies than for the nation to be desolated by the Romans. So they delivered Messiah up to be killed. So Messiah flipped the script. He caused the Roman army to come and take away their place and take away their nation. So the Olivet Discourse is not pointing to Messiah's return. It's pointing to our warrior Messiah exacting vengeance against his enemy. Is that not what he told us in his parables? We read the parables, you know, and we see what they say, and then somehow we just think it's just a story. But it's not. It's Messiah declaring judgment against the Jewish leaders. In his parable of the minas, in Luke 19, Messiah proclaimed, but those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Within a generation, at the end of the Jewish-Roman War of 66-70 AD, hundreds of thousands of Jews were slain by the Roman soldiers. In his parable of the vineyard owner, in Mark 12:9, Messiah declared, what shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. Within a generation, the Jewish leadership system, which rejected their promised Messiah, was removed from power and the kingdom was given to the believing Jews and Gentiles who preached the gospel to the nations. In his parable of the wedding feast in Matthew 22, Messiah said, But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. So it's talking about the wedding feast, and it's talking about the invitation to the Jews, right? That's the invitation. He was inviting them to come into the kingdom, to come marry him as their Messiah. And they rejected him. So Messiah said, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Within a generation, 1.1 million Jews lay dead in and around Jerusalem from famine, pestilence, infighting, suicide, evisceration, crucifixion, and by the Roman sword. So all that took place. And the home of their nation, Jerusalem, and their beautiful temple was burned up. Do you see the fulfillment? Messiah is declaring that he's going to send forth armies against these wicked people who rejected him, and he's going to destroy them, and he's going to burn up their city. And that's exactly what happened within one generation of his declaration. Throughout his ministry, Messiah proclaimed the coming judgment upon the wicked Jewish nation, who was in rebellion against his heavenly Father, who killed the prophets sent to them and sought to kill Messiah. In that generation, in 66 AD, Cestius and his soldiers fulfilled the major sign of the abomination of desolation, which Luke 21:20-21 tells us is when an army surrounds holy Jerusalem where it should not be. So after, and I'll get to this in a future lesson about the abomination of desolation, but the saints obviously saw Cestius and his soldiers surround the temple and surround the city, and they were ready to take it captive, but then they left for no explained reason. Well, that gave them, the saints, the opportunity to flee, just like Messiah told them. So they fled Jerusalem, they went east of the Jordan up to the Decapolis area up in Pella, where there's mountains, and they went there for protection. After the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD, Messiah's followers, who had fled to the mountains of Pella for safety, were gathered together. So they would have sounded a trumpet, right? So they gathered together the leaders, which is angelos, the angels. So it says the angels gathered them together. It's not pointing to the heavenly angels. Angels, angelos, in the Greek, is pointing to the leaders. So they would have gathered an assembly, and they would have made a plan. Some returned to Jerusalem to minister to people that returned there. Some stayed in Pella to continue in that fellowship of believers. And others went to preach the gospel in the Roman Empire to gather the elect into the kingdom. We need to take Messiah at his word and look at how he described things that took place in that generation, which saw the desolation of the temple, Jerusalem, and the Jewish nation. If you're seeking truth and not to defend a belief, this series will prove the fulfillment of Messiah's Olivet Discourse. It will help you see that it's not about the end times, so that you're not misled about the fulfillment of Revelation as we await Messiah's promised return. The events of 66 to 70 AD were astoundingly horrific for the Jewish nation. Dead Jews lay in the temple, their blood splattered on the altar. Bodies were stacked up around the city, and they were thrown over the walls into the valleys around Jerusalem. Corpses filled trees and crosses outside the city. The tragedy of the Jewish nation in the first century fills the pages of Jewish Roman historian Josephus' work called The Jewish Wars. He was born Yosef ben Matityahu, but was given a new name by Roman Emperor Vespasian. He was put in a position to record the first century's major events in Judea. He was not a follower of Messiah, so he can't be accused of writing history as to confirm the prophecies of the Bible. He was used to document the horrific scene with sorrow. Josephus's writings are extensive, and I recommend a book called Josephus, The Essential Works, which was translated by Paul L. Meyer. It summarizes life in Judea during the time of our Messiah's ministry. It records the events of famine, pestilence, wars, earthquakes, which line up with Messiah's warnings in this Olivet Discourse. And it documents the Jewish-Roman War of 66 to 70 AD, which led to the desolation of Jerusalem, the temple, and the end of the Jewish nation. Somehow, today's teachers don't assign this time of great tribulation for the Jewish nation to fulfill any prophecy. They do not teach that the 70 weeks of Daniel 9 prophecy says that the Jews' abominations would cause the temple and city to be desolated. And they don't teach how Messiah declared that the temple would be destroyed and that there would be a time of great tribulation for the Jewish nation in that generation. Again, we just simply have to take Messiah at his word, and he emphasized his statement saying that heaven and earth would pass away before his words were not fulfilled. We'll prove out the fulfillment of Messiah's warnings in the Olivet Discourse in this series. We'll see the glory of our beloved Messiah, who foretold these events, which were fulfilled in exacting detail. Thank you for listening to this Olivet Discourse Decoded audio. You can save and print Olivet Discourse Decoded PDF summaries. You can request a free copy of the Olivet Discourse Decoded book or order a printed copy at www.theolivetdiscourse.com. Please share this podcast audio with others so that they can see the glory of Messiah in the fulfillment. I love y'all. Shalom.